I did also forget to announce, Pastor Larry is over helping our friends at Salem Lutheran Church, and so he's over there preaching and leading worship, so that's why Pastor Larry is not here. He'll be here, obviously, next week. Cheaters never prosper. Is that true? Yeah, Raiders have won the Super Bowl. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for proving my point. Not necessarily. Why is this? Do cheaters sometimes win? Does it bother you when cheaters win? Does it bother you that some of the wealthiest people in America are liars and cheaters and thieves? That's how they got there. That's how they got there. Do you ever sit there going, why in the world would I want to be a Christian when I could instead cheat, lie, steal, and get really far in my life? I remember in school, that's where it first starts, right? Told, don't cheat, right? You're taking your chest, you're filling stuff out, and you look over, and there is some person who is reading your test answers. And, you know, you try to, you know, but you don't want to raise your hand and say, teacher, he's cheating on me, because then something else worse happens. And so all of a sudden, then the test comes back, and what's happened? They got a better grade than you. And you're like, wait, hold on, wait. You cheated off me, and then you changed some of the answers because you knew them. But if you wouldn't have cheated off me, you wouldn't have gotten the half of the right answers anyway. And then you think, should I say something? But now if you say something like, professor, teacher, they cheated off me, the teacher's going to say, why didn't you tell me beforehand? Why did you let them cheat off of you? And then now you're in trouble. So now this person who's cheated off you is now getting a better grade than you. I've seen this at work. You're trying to live a good, righteous life that God has called you to. But you notice that the owner sometimes leaves some cash laying around. Let me tell you, cash is tempting, is it not? And all of a sudden you look over and you see that some of your workmates are taking stuff. And you're like, that's wrong. And then you realize they just got a new MacBook Pro. They're wearing some better clothes than you. And you think to yourself, you're stealing and you're getting away with it, which is then improving their life, and you, Mr. and Mrs. Goody Two Shoes, trying to live righteously, are essentially falling behind because you're trying to follow the rules. Wouldn't it just be easier to steal? Wouldn't it just be easier to cheat? It's so hard. And I think the reason why is because I think deep down we actually know that sometimes cheaters win. And sometimes cheaters make it. It happens every time the Powerball exceeds $100 million. You start thinking to yourself, what could I do with $100 million? Well, first of all, you would tithe. I'm just telling you now, that's what you're going to do, okay? Okay. you start thinking, man, how much easier would life be if you had a little bit more financial resources? You know, you're driving, and as you're driving along, all of a sudden, you just glanced one way, and you look back. And all of a sudden, the light's yellow, and you're thinking to yourself, well, when did the light turn yellow? Did the light turn yellow when I turned? And you have to make the split-second decision, am I going to make it through the light? So you say to yourself, I think I'm going to make it through the light. And then you realize that you're not going to make it through the light, and it turns red before you hit the line. And then you get the worst feeling of all. This deep sinking pit that as you go through this intersection, you look over and there's a cop. I'm not speaking from experience or anything. No, I am speaking from experience. This happened over here on coming off the freeway. I was just driving. I looked over, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, right on through. Cop pulls me over, and I'm thinking to myself, ah, and then guess what? He hands me the ticket. And now things are different because not only do you have to pay the ticket, but then you also have to go to traffic school in order to get it off your record, because if you don't, then you're going to be paying a lot more in insurance. And so you do this, and after a while, you're like, this is $300. And I don't have $300. I think my kids are going to have top ramen tonight. But wouldn't it be great if you just had the money? You'd be like, eh. Would a $300 ticket bother you at that point? Eh. Who really cares? I'll be fine. Doesn't matter. You look around, and you're driving this car, and this car is constantly breaking down. And you see other people, and they're driving some pretty nice cars. And you're thinking to yourself, man, if only I had more money. If I had more money, I would have much less stress in my life because now I don't have to drive this horrible car. Or how about this? You find out that for the past 2 months, you've had a leak in your hot water system right underneath your kitchen sink that has caused, and it's a slab leak. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything. This is what I did all day yesterday. I'm digging out this hole. You remember we had problems with the sewage in the back. And yeah, it's really great that all of a sudden now I'm digging this and I'm feeling this water that's coming out. It's like a hot tub. I'm like, great. I have a hot tub in my front yard. And you realize that it's been going on for 2 months. So your gas bill and your water, and you blew out your hot water heater because you didn't know that it had been running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for an entire month. So you go get a new one, and you're like, you can't understand, why is this new hot water heater not working? Because when I wash, it's only like lukewarm water. Something's wrong with this. Then you realize the reason why it's cold is because it's constantly pumping out hot water onto your front lawn. And then you get the guy to come over, and he looks at it, and he laughs, and he says, Mark, can you just not call me anymore? If there's something wrong, just don't call me. And I'm like, what am I going to do here? He's like, well, you're in trouble. And I'm like, great, because, well, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars? But man, if I had money, man, wouldn't that be great? Just, and I'm thinking, maybe I can get ahead somehow. Maybe I can lie or cheat. Maybe I can figure something out, how to swindle someone else out of my, and I'm like, this would be great, because then I get jealous. I start thinking to myself, all these people that are out there that have all this money, they must not have a care in the world. You think, wouldn't it be nice? Like, oh, I just got into a car accident. No big deal. I have the money to pay that off. Oh, my MacBook Pro just crashed. That's okay. I'll just go buy a new one. Oh, I just stepped on my brand new pair of prescription glasses. Oh, who cares? No big deal. I'll just buy a new set because I've got... You look around and you go, why is it that the people of God seem to have so many struggles because we try and live our lives righteously while the rest of the world seems to be darting past us, ahead of us, and we're looking like, this is disgusting. Do you ever feel disgust that way? I think if you don't, I think something might be wrong with you. You might be lying to yourself. I think we've all felt it. You've heard it from your friends who have more money than you. They have more power than you. They have better cars than you, better houses than you. And you're like, if only I could have that. And you start thinking to yourself, maybe I should abandon this dumb thing called Christianity, because really, honestly, what is it getting me? It's getting me nothing. And if I just, I don't know, maybe live a different way for a portion of time, then I'll get ahead. And then, you know, maybe in the future I'll come back. But at that point, I'll have money and I'll have no cares in the world. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? The guy in the Psalms who had that exact same struggle. Exact from Psalm 73. Guy by the name of Asaph. We don't really know much about Asaph. We know that out of all of the psalm writers, Asaph was the second most prolific. First one was a guy named David. He was a sensitive guy. Not only was he a warrior, but he was a poet and a musician. Really hard to find those nowadays. But then we got this guy named Asaph, and he wrote a lot of the Psalms. And this Psalm, Psalm 73, is one that he wrote. Let's take a look at it. He starts off with an introduction, which is, again, he's trying to help you understand that this is a struggle I went through. I'm going to give you my conclusion, a quick conclusion right at the beginning, because I don't want you to go into despair. But he's going to go into this challenge that he has. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, there they are, looking over this pit of unbelief, and they're like, that looks good. Because here's all the arrogant, here's all the wicked, and they're seeming to win. The cheaters are, in fact, prospering. Maybe I should join them. And he says, my foot almost slipped. Like, I almost went into it. Like, I was so envious, so jealous of how these people are getting ahead and I am not, that I almost went ahead and took the jump myself. So sick of other people winning. Why can't I get any wins? Why can't I get ahead? I'm tired of being a Christian. I'm tired of following God's laws. This is where Asaph is at. A real human emotional struggle. Verse 4, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong because they get to eat the good food. They get the best doctors. They get the best medicine. And if you're poor, you got nothing. Like, good luck. Hopefully, you don't get some sort of infection and you have to lop off a limb. But if you're rich, you got that. Look at that. You just pay for any medical care. You have no worries whatsoever. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Because isn't that what we do? I love looking at things like Facebook and Instagram. It's always interesting because nobody posts things like, my child was rotten, so I punished them, and there they are sitting in the corner, like if you agree. Because, I don't know if you're aware of this, I'm just an awesome parent, and I don't ever do anything wrong. At least that's what I portray on Facebook. Instagram, you look at, we have someone, I love this, hopefully they don't ever listen to my sermons, but when Heather and I, we would go, and you know, we would go down to Mexico, or we'd Greece, and we would always get this one comment. Must be nice being able to take vacations. Well, yeah, because if you look at it, Heather and I must be doing pretty darn good for ourselves. Now, obviously, she doesn't know that we'd been saving for 2 full years, that we weren't staying in hotels, we were staying in Airbnbs, and that we have timeshares down in Mexico so we can go down there essentially for free. You know, but all that we put up on Facebook is, look at all the fun things we're doing, right? And then you look at all your friends, right? Tony, what do your friends post? So, oh, look at me. I'm so happy. I'm at the beach. Oh, look at me. Oh, look, here's all my friends that I have. And wow, they sure seem to have their life together. And all on Facebook and Instagram, all we see is just how everything is awesome and great. And then you look at your life, and you go, my life's terrible. It's nothing like this, though I have a feeling that if I pulled up your Instagram or Facebook account, I would imagine that what I would see there is someone whose life seems pretty darn good. It's tough. We get jealous. People have other things that we want. We always want what we don't have. I've got curly hair. I hate curly hair. Curly hair is terrible. I'd rather have straight hair. And then all the people that have straight hair, oh man, I wish I had naturally curly hair. That'd be great. I would love to have more hair again. Wouldn't that be fantastic? And then some people are like, it's so hard taking care of this wonderful, beautiful mop of head. So, you know, we always want what we don't got. I don't know. How do you? Because you're right there. Yeah. Not pointing anything out there. Just, we always want what we don't have. And so people are out there and they look like they don't have a care in the world. And then verse 7, he realizes that it's not only they don't have cares, but some of them are actually downright evil people. I'm sorry. absolutely, I don't want to desecrate the memory of someone who has recently passed, but I did not like Robin Leach. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. You know why? Because you would watch these things with these rich people. They're like, oh, I'm going to start a fire. I think I'll start a fire with $100 bills, you know? And you're like, how do you have them? I'm going to have caviar and champagne for a midday snack. And I'm like, I just have Goldfish crackers. That's all I got. And I watch it, and they're like, oh, yeah, it was really hard today because I had to choose, which car I'm going to drive because I've got 12 of them. I'm like, I'm glad that I can have one that actually works. Oh, yes, well, I was laying out today in one of my 12 hot tubs, and I'm like, I'll take a hot tub that's not sitting in my front lawn because I got a slab leak on the hot tub on water side. I'd love it. Hated lifestyles. I hated it because they just, the way they lived, yeah.
Nobody ever posts about the slab leak.
Yeah, no one posts about the slab leak. Yes, you know what? Let's do it today. Yeah, everyone's like, so do it today. Find something that's really bad in your life and just post it like, slab leak, life's terrible. And let's see what happens. Because people... Yeah, hashtag search like ministries. Yeah, and they'll be like, what? What's going on there? Sounds like if I join this church, everything bad is going to happen to me, right? That'd be hilarious. Yeah, because no one posts that. You don't post that your kids are rotten little... things, and you had to punish them. No one posts that. No, what does your kid do? Oh, my kid's perfect. Look at them. They just got straight A's, and look, they're 2 years old, and they can already recite the alphabet. Who cares? Like, they're still picking their boogers and eating them. Like, your kid ain't that special. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I love Disneyland because, you know, when you post to Disneyland, what do you post? Look at us, we're smiling and everything's great. No, I've been to Disneyland. No, it is not the happiest place on earth. I can tell you, there is so much screaming and yelling and kids throwing fits. Why isn't that on social media? Why? There's no crying at Disneyland. I've heard it. They're just, you know, being drug away like, I'm like, shut up, kid. But of course, they wait, and all of a sudden, they like hand the kid a $12 churro, and the kid smiles. They're like, there it is. Quick, take a picture. Look, we're having a great time at Disneyland. No, you're not. You're a liar, because this is what we do on social media. We project the best, but then we start thinking to ourselves, is it really how everyone's living? Because then you see everyone else's post. You wonder, are they there? They must be doing really well. No. Again, I think I've said this before. You come into church and you look around and you think everyone here has their stuff together. They're smiling. They're happy. I can just tell you, I'm not going to break any confidences, but the majority of people that come to this church are messed up in some way or another and have major problems. Amen, amen to that. Yes, you could affirm that.
Well, I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, I don't know about anyone else, but I know that I'm having. Exactly, because we all have these problems and we don't put that out there. Verse 7, from their callous hearts come iniquity, the evil conceits of their mind knows no limits. I got to be careful with my words. I despise the Kardashians. Now, I know all the teenagers are now hating me. I don't know. Do you guys hate the Kardashians? Because it's crazy. Like, we watch them, and they seem so happy. And, you know, their bodies are perfect because they spent, you know, thousands of dollars on liposuction. And their lives seem... And they're so conceited, like, oh, look at me. I just went to the bathroom. 173,432 likes. You're like, what? Conceited people, because they think they can get away with anything. Have you ever met people like that? They're so wealthy, they're so powerful, you challenge them and they're like, nope, sorry, little man, I can do whatever I want. Well, I hated people like that. Drove me nuts. We had people in college back in my days, they had a guy who went and, I don't know if I should share this, but I'm going to, because I feel like it. He defecated in the school library. Rich Manning can verify this for you, if you want. And guess what? Guess what his punishment was? Nothing. You know why? His parents were very wealthy and donate a lot of money to the school. Oh, yeah. There was also, I think it was that same year, the college got written up in Sports Illustrated because the baseball team was playing for the very first time a female pitcher from another school, and it was a home game for us, so they came, and Sports Illustrated sent people. And guess what our baseball team did against a female pitcher? What do you think they maybe said to her? And it all got written up in Sports Illustrated. Guess what happened to the baseball team? Nothing! Because, yeah, and it's money. We got money coming in from there. Do you ever hear that? And you're like, the arrogance of some people. Like the super wealthy and the super popular. They're so arrogant. And you see this in school, don't you? There's certain people that are untouchable because everything they say, everyone loves. And you're like, no, that doesn't give you the right to be a jerk. Arrogance. Their mouths lay claim to heaven and their tongues take possession of the earth. And therefore, the people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. Does that sound like some people? Like they post and, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so great. And you're like, oh, I just soak up this water in abundance. And they start believing that nothing that they say or do is wrong in any way, shape, or form. And you realize, You're drinking your own Kool-Aid. What is wrong with you? But you can't say anything because they're rich and they're powerful and they can stop you at any moment's notice. And you are trying to live your life righteously for God. You're trying not to live a deceitful life, a lying life, a cheater's life, a stealer's life. And you're not getting anyone. No one drinks up your water in abundance. You post and you get three people to like it. And you're like, I think I should take that down. Yeah, because no one cares about you or your life. Because you're not that special in the eyes of the world. And you wonder, is it even worth it? Verse 11, they say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? They're even mocking God. They say, who cares? God, I'm getting fine. I'm getting along fine without him. Probably is no God because I'm lying and cheating and stealing and I'm getting ahead quite nicely. And then you think to yourself, maybe they're right. Why isn't God stopping this? And then verse 12, this is what the wicked are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth. And here's that feeling we all get. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. Surely in vain, I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long, I've been plagued. I've been plagued every morning. I follow after God, and my life's not doing very well. I follow after God, and I'm not really getting ahead. I'm following God's description, and stuff's happening to me in my life. And I get into car accidents, and I get slab leaks, and I have problems, and it's constant. It just keeps coming. I don't slander other people, but they slander me. I don't sleep around like other people, but they sleep around and seem to be awfully popular, and everyone wants to be around them. It's so easy, and we start saying this, it's not worth it. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. And when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. How you feeling? Isn't this just a great message? It's disgusting. Because we've all felt it. We felt disgust. And then, of course, it seeps into our hearts. And we say, well, at least we're good. So really, we shouldn't let outsiders, those disgusting outsiders, come in. What will change our callous hearts? What will change our envious hearts? What will change our hearts of disgust? Is there a remedy for this? I'm so glad you asked. Because it's the next verse. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. They did it a while ago. I was looking for the video. I couldn't quite find it, but I've seen it a bunch of times. It's called the marshmallow video. Take a little kid, put him in a room, and you put in front of them. Yeah, you've seen the, yeah. Put in front of them a marshmallow and you say, you can have this marshmallow, but if you choose not to eat the marshmallow, later on, I'll give you two marshmallows. And it's really funny because, yeah, Google, you have to watch it. Because what ends up, like, one kid, he just kind of looks at it, and then he grabs it, and he's smelling it. He's flirting with it. And he's, I don't know, I think one of the kids even licked it, like, oh. And, of course, what did some kids do? They ate it. They're like, forget it. Forget the reward later on. I want my marshmallow now. And how often have we of Christians said the exact same thing? You know what? I'm tired of waiting for this thing called heaven. I'm tired of waiting for something special to happen to me later on. I'm going to grab it now. Carpe diem. Seize the day. I'm going to seize it now, and I'm going to eat my marshmallow. But what will take you away from that, what will rebalance you, what will recenter you is if you say to yourself, think of the future. Think of what is in store for me later.
Isn't it amazing that the people that live those kind of lifestyles when they face mortality?
Yes. Yeah. How many times have we read reports of people who are wealthy and powerful, and then they get to the end and they realize, man, my wealth and power got me through life and I had no carefrees. But the problem is, your wealth and power cannot stop one thing. You are going to die. And I don't care how rich you are. Steve Jobs. Tons of people go through this. I also, you can read it. They did a study on this. Who is happier? Who is happier? A lottery winner? Or a paraplegic? And yeah, hands down. This is a real study. Google it. Yeah. The lottery winner realizes, wait a second, I thought money was going to make me happy. But really, all it did was compounded problem after problem after problem. They're like, I didn't realize I had a third cousin twice removed on my barber's uncle's cousin's side. Who just needed a loan. Yeah. And I didn't realize that, wait a second, with all this money, I now have to hire an attorney to keep it safe and then a tax person to do this. And you start realizing, wait a second, there's a whole lot of other problems. But that's not, yeah. Can we, maybe we'll do that for next IRS season. Yeah, everyone, you know, say, doing taxes, my favorite chore, hashtag Searchlight Ministries. Yeah, we're discussing. No one posts on it. Hey, just filed my taxes today. Zippity-doo-dah. Just paid a whole bunch of money to the government. And you start realizing that happiness and joy, as Pastor Larry shared several weeks ago, is not found in these temporal things. It's not found in the money. It's not found in the power. Some of the most powerful people have said they've had all the power in the world, and then they realized they didn't even have a true friend. Everyone was scared to say something against them because maybe they would get destroyed. Could you imagine? I would hate to be the president of the United States and go golfing. Because are you going to win if you're the president? Chances are you're probably going to win. A lot more than you really should, because you're probably not that good of a golfer. But hey, you seem to win, and you start there. But you don't even have a true friend. No one can tell you, dude, you're messing this up. Something is wrong with it. People in power realize, I don't even have any real friends. And then they get to the time of the end, and they're like, what's going to happen with me? Yeah.
And it wasn't until later in their life when they had a couple of investments that they had lost all their money, and they went back into business, and they were looking for those friends that they had made a lot of money with and it really helped out, only to find out that none of them
no friends.
Were friends.
Yeah.
And they were not willing to help them back.
Yeah.
And so even including their own family.
Yeah.
So
I watched that happen. We get this idea of enviousness of other people's lives. But I can just tell you that God's desire for your life is to find joy in this life, and the joy is not found in the money. It's not found in the power. It's found in the concept that the creator of the universe sacrificed his life for yours. and the depth of his love knows no boundaries, that all he really wants is to be with you in eternity forever. And you know what? You may go through a really bad time here in life, but you won't ever have to face that problem again in heaven. You'll never have to worry, does someone love me? Does someone care for me? Because someone does. And they will do anything for you. In fact, they did. They were willing to lay down their life, sacrificing it all. The most powerful person in the world, the most wealthiest person in the world, voluntarily gave up his power and his wealth to live like you and me, to stand in our place, to take our punishment, to go the way of the cross and sacrifice it all just so you could be with God. That's where true happiness is going to be found. That's where true joy is found. Knowing that I'm going to get two marshmallows later. Knowing that something is awaiting me that's way better than anything that I... And the sacrifice... And this is where I come back to that concept. Cheaters never prosper. I've been rolling that around in my head, and I actually still abide by that. I actually believe that cheaters will not prosper. Cheaters may win. Cheaters may get ahead. Cheaters may have temporary victories. But they actually will never actually prosper. Because following after God, being loved by Him, loving a community of people, and being loved back by them is something that is vastly superior to anything that you could get right here and now. It's a hard concept to believe, but it is the right concept. Asaph figured it out, that if you ever get loaded up with disgust, just come to the church, walk in the sanctuary, and remember what God has done for you, and ultimately where you are going to go, and you will enjoy the riches and the richness of heaven. And you will find that your life will be way more blessed, way more successful than you could have ever even imagined. I guarantee you, I promise you, you're still going to have problems. Bad things are still going to happen to you. But ultimately, God has given everything for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, yeah, sometimes we get disgusted. There's people around that seem to have no problems. We pull them up on Instagram and Facebook. I don't know about Snapchat because I don't know that very well. But I know that it's so easy to get sucked into that type of feeling, that type of mentality. And we ask, Lord, that we would not be filled with disgust of the success of the wicked and the evil, but instead we would just be eternally grateful for the joy and the love that we have because of Jesus our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that you've shown us a better way, a better truth, a better life. You've shown us the way, the truth, and the life. And that is being able to follow after you because of what Christ has done for us. We thank you for that sacrifice that he has given to us. We remember the riches that we have. Maybe not riches that translate into dollars, but a richness that comes from being loved by the Creator of the universe. Happiness that doesn't come from power of this earth, but the promise that you give us the power to become the children of God and that we have the Holy Spirit. For that, we are grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. For our time of communion, we have the